With me in the studio this evening, I have three guests who will be talking to us from different perspectives, on how they are stakeholders and how they are contributing to the campaign against gender-based violence, or also sexual and gender-based violence, as well as the special call for ending child marriages. With me in the studio are Ms. Jennifer Eden from Intra Health, and she is the GBV coordinator. Welcome to Radio Maria. And also Emmanuel Basai, Protection Assistant at the Mother and Child Development Aid Organization, and Bongiri Peter, Program Manager from Community Development Emergency Response Organization. Welcome all of you to Radio Mirai. Let me start with Jennifer. Jennifer, you specialize in health. Introduce yourself to us and your organization.
Thank you very much, Gabriel. I'm Jennifer Eden, the GBV Coordinator, Intra Health International. Thank you.
Yeah. And Emmanuel?
Yes, I'm Emmanuel Absai, Protection Assistant, Mother and Child Development Aid.
Bongiri.
Yes, Bongiri Peter is my name. I work for Community Development Emergency Response Organization.
The three of you are specialized in different ways. Jennifer will be talking more about health, and Bongiri will be talking more about safety and security, and Emmanuel will be talking more about legal services. Let me start with Jennifer. Health-wise, and when we talk about gender-based violence, what are we focusing on when we speak about gender-based violence and health? What is the relationship?
Thank you very much, Gabriel, for this good question and concern. When you talk about gender-based violence in relation to health, actually health is one of the key strategies in response to gender-based violence. I would like to tell you a few things, what the key stakeholders are currently doing to work hard to end violence in South Sudan and in other countries. Most of the stakeholders are conducting a number of various trainings to healthcare workers. The trainings probably could depend on the need. The trainings actually include stigma and discrimination. This is very, very important to create friendly service, to create friendly environment service for service provision to survivors of violence. The other trainings that are very, very key and important that different key stakeholders are conducting is clinical management of rape, case management, psychosocial support. Survivors really need somebody to talk to, a partner to attend to them, to understand that, yes, provide first-line support. Yes, this violence has occurred. You are in the right hands to receive, you are in the right hands to get different forms of services in response to violence. The other key thing that partners are really working hard to end violence is strengthening community systems, that is through community referrals from the communities to the healthcare facilities to different stakeholders who are providing different GBV response and prevention services, and identification and disclosure of violence in the community. The community really have to take have to be self-responsible for their health, for their safety, for their security. They need to know different directions, different stakeholders, different partners providing different type of services in response to, in response and ending violence. Partners are also conducting a lot of mapping assessment on needs of survivors in different locations, different states, different activities, different services that are being provided. The other key thing is mentorship and reinforcement of post-GBV services through different partners who are providing services in end to violence. I would also like to talk about something very, very key on specifically on the post-GBV services, health services that is provided to survivors of gender-based, to survivors of sexual gender-based violence. At facility levels, when the staff, after staffs have, healthcare workers have been trained on GBV response and prevention. Key thing, once a survivor reports to the facility, Examination and history taking is done to the survivor to confirm if rape occurred, location, when, the time. It's very, very critical to know the time that if it's a sexual assault that occurred, it's very, very important for planning purpose, for response purpose, because we all know that, we all understand that it's very, very important and critical to respond within 72 hours once violence, especially sexual violence, has occurred. This is so critical. The other services that are very, very eminent and important to respond to, that healthcare workers are providing the facilities, is actually HIV testing that is done to all survivors of sexual assault. Once a survivor is tested for HIV, if she is HIV positive at the test, probably the survivor might have not gotten the assault, the sexual assault from the perpetrator, who could have done the perpetration within 3 days, that is within 72 hours. It meant probably the survivor had her HIV infection, probably from another source, a different time. But then the survivor will not be left as she is, much as she's HIV positive. She will be linked to care, to HIV care and treatment, so that her viral load is suppressed once she's retained on care and treatment, and that will reduce risk of new infection coming in. It will also reduce risk of infection from the survivors invading out to the other perpetrators or to the community who would be thinking of perpetrating. The other key important services that are provided is sexually transmitted screening, sexually transmitted infection screening and treatment. Survivors are tested for syphilis. If they're positive, they're initiated on treatment. If they do not have any syphilitic infection, for instance, they will also be provided other sexually transmitted prophylaxis that will help to prevent transmission of sexually, any other sexually transmitted infection. The other services that could include, the key services that would be provided here would be post-exposure prophylaxis. This is an ARV treatment, an ART treatment that helps to prevent transmission of HIV transmission if it's taken within 72 hours. The other service that is also provided is emergency contraceptive pill. If the survivor may not know if she's in fertile days, she might get pregnant, so she's given emergency contraceptive within 5 days. That will also prevent risk of unwanted pregnancy. No woman, no girl would want to carry pregnancy that she does not know the father.
Thank you, Jennifer, for that. We have a lot of technical technical words, survivor, post exposure, and all that kind of things, interventions. Now, simply, you are telling us, the listeners, that once you are exposed, when you have had an accident where you were exposed to a case of rape, and that means you need a health intervention. Sure. That is after the accident.
Sure.
And at that time, you call him, you call her survivor.
Survivor, very
true.
See?
So he's a victim who has survived, and you want to help. So the health service is there, you give them kind of testing to know whether they might not get HIV, whether they might not get other sexually transmitted diseases, and also you counsel them and you offer them all that kind of health services. And when you speak about stakeholders and partners, you mean what? You mean NGOs, you mean government, you mean what?
When I talk about stakeholders, I mean the government is involved. I mean the State Ministry of Gender is involved. The National Ministry of Gender is involved. I also
even
don't
community.
Forget the community is
even
involved.
Community.
Yes.
Yeah.
National NGOs, international NGOs, and
elders.
It really involves so many responses. It involves so many people.
But the most important thing I get away from you is that anybody who has survived or who has been a victim of sexual violence should take health treatment as soon as possible.
Within 72
hours.
Yeah,
don't wait 3 years. I mean 3 days. Don't wait for 3 days, then the case will be complicated. Before 3 days are finished, you must go and do something. Thank you very much, Jennifer, for that quick and very, very in-depth explanation of what the partners are doing. Now, people might not know where to get these services. This is health. Where should I get it?
Yes, thank you very much, Gabriel. Yes, people should get the services at healthcare facilities. We have facilities like Nyakuron PHCC, primary healthcare.
When you speak about Juba.
Yes, yeah. That is within Juba. Mm-hmm. We have facilities like Melikia Primary Healthcare Center, Gurei Primary Healthcare Center. We have facilities, partner facilities like EB Clinic. The Genesis Clinic also provide HIV services for free and for survivors of sexual gender-based violence. Mm. We have facilities like military, Juba Military Hospitals, Juba Teaching Hospital, and any other facilities within Juba. And if you look at other stations like in Nemule, Yei, and other states, we also have partners who are responding and supporting in these facilities. These services are available in all the facilities that are within the country. So survivors are free to get the services for free, and these services are at a free cost. They are not expected to pay unless otherwise in private clinics where it's a little bit limited. Yes,
thank you very much, Jennifer Eden, the GBV coordinator at Intra Health. Now let me go to the issues of safety and security with Peter Wangiri. Peter, what is the focus when we speak about safety and security in relationship to gender-based violence?
Thank you Joseph Zaldar. The issue of safety is one of the biggest component of providing a safe environment for women. Yeah. And with the security is about the normal business continuity. When violence happens, that means that there are certain procedures needs to be taken. And this comes down to the issue of when is it reported, yeah. When what kind of response is given to, and was there any referral? And because this is important, that if any violence happens, it must be coordinated. And this coordination goes together with the arrangements with the different stakeholders. You have to respond, you have to refer, and you have to report. Mm-hmm. And this is ignored mostly with our local communities. Mm-hmm. And even at family levels, when these things happen. With regards to safety, safety is that women needs to know which area, which place, and what time is safe. Sometimes if we go specifically to violence against women, just like our sister Jennifer said, in regards to rape cases and things like that, you know, our communities need to be aware of safety. Yeah. Very, very important.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Michael Zulfi, within the community, they know how to protect themselves. It's particularly women. Women are very vulnerable to the extent that, the time for fetching water.
Yeah.
Zaman zol bemsi fi moya fi yato zaman yato zaman zol bi rua fi out toilet or which areas are safe. So this needs a lot of awareness, and we do this through the protection cluster systems, where you have a safety and protection guide to advocate and also create a lot of awareness. Mm. So the community needs to be aware on how women can be safe in that regard. But also very important is that when we do a lot of awareness in regards to stereotypings, you are providing safe environment for women. Because the general context outside there is that there's a lot of stereotypes for women, and you find that sometimes men have this kind of generalization. You know, when there's an issue of violence, sometimes people think, madam mushklat anasawin bes, demikin mara o rajali agishakla bes. So when a woman is crying, they just ignore it. Mm. So this needs a lot of advocacy, and this advocacy brings about an issue of friendly environment for women. Mm. And women become safe and live in an environment where they are accepted, because they know that the law is taking place, and people understand the really context of handling issues within the society. Especially the police know that the constitution says this, the they know that also the young people are trained, they know, they take leadership themselves to protect the women. So this is all about bringing safety and talking about friendly environment for women, so that the women are relief from violence.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very important in the context of, you know, engaging young people more and creating awareness and give them the leadership to also take the issue of gender violence as serious. You know, that's why it is very important that if safety is taken as a priority and the issue of creating awareness, I think there will be a more friendly environment for women.
Very interesting the Peter Wangiri about the safety of women. And the examples you have made, Yani, Azul, مثلا هي مرة هي بيت شافة مفروض تطلع 200 تمشي مع منو تمشي في الساعة كم والحاجات ممكن يكون فيه محل خطر ده كله مهم جدا إنه أزول يعرفه عشان ما يتعرض للمخاطر ده. حتى نحن ما بنتكلم عن نسوان, حتى الأولاد الصغار مش كده, لأنه هسه في أولاد بيخطفوهم مش كده, بيروحوا ما عارف إنهم مش وين. شكرا لك كثير على الاستفسار ده, ونمشي التوضيح ده نمشي ل we go to Emmanuel Abasai for on the legal services. Of course, there is a link here. When he spoke, Jennifer spoke about the health response, she said it is not more than 3 days should pass. And when we came to the security and safety, the timing is also very important. When are you reporting this? Are you reporting after 1 month? So it's also important. So what do we see here when we come to the legal services for those who can be, who have become victims of gender-based violence? Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Gabriel Sadat. In the issue of legal service relations with gender-based violence, gender-based violence actually is a violation of human rights based on the gender. It cannot be only a woman, but maybe a man also. So there are so many forms of gender-based violence. I can mention some of them to you. We have domestic violence, we have rape, we have defilement, we have forced marriage and forced marriage, or sometimes you call early marriage. In relation to this, to legal service, because legal service are always given to survivors, because it is given to survivors so that survivors can get their right. Because after the perpetrators are known, okay, are like the offenders. So after doing all this medical service, then legal service will enter. Whereby, because it is an offense, it's a crime against the state. But violating somebody's right, like raping somebody, forcing your child to get married before the age of 18, that is something which is unlawful. So these are things that we are asking for the survivors. We are advising survivors to search for legal advice from us, the GVB working partners, so that we can assist them in giving them referral ways who can give for them legal services, which we have here in South Sudan. We have a lot of partners who are giving legal service for free, which are trained to give legal assistance to GVB survivors. And we have even like the like in a government, we have legal officers, like we have in all police stations, like here in Munich, we have focal people, the state attorneys, who are trained from the Minister of Justice to handle these cases. And those services, these services are free, and they are legal. They are paralegal NGOs who are giving free legal service to survivors. Because, you know, without bringing this thing into books, this is offense against women.
It will continue.
That's why we are advising the public, so that they come up with their problem, so that we give them legal service, legal advice, so that the perpetrators are brought into books. Because our constitution clearly state that abuse, of somebody's rights is punishable. Like rapes are pants. Anybody who rapes somebody can be pants for a year, not more than 14 years in a prison. That is in a legal accept, because it's a crime.
Thank you very much, Emmanuel Abasai, for that. And it's quite interesting. While you are talking there, I'm thinking of perpetrators and victims and all that.
Mm-hmm.
A perpetrator is not necessarily somebody who is estranged.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily somebody who is coming from far away.
Mm-hmm.
It can be the neighbor, it can be a relative, it can be your wife, it can be your husband, and your brother, beating a sister, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where people should not shy away. Say, how can I go to the police station and speak about you see? Yes, what do you say? A quick answer to that.
Okay, in that say, because people are not aware about their right, so as a legal workers, a human rights workers, we need to at least make sure that everybody in the family knows his right. Okay, so by knowing your right, you will know that this is my brother who has offended me, because we need you people to come up and know their rights. And as a legal service, we cannot force you so that we proceed in your case.
Yes.
So, but what I've seen in South Sudan, people don't know their right.
Yeah.
If by knowing their right, they will still immediately take the legal procedure.
And then when it comes to health, Jennifer, you have been offended. You must seek treatment regardless of who and what, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you say here? Should I say no? It's somebody who is my relative, somebody who I know. I cannot go even to the hospital.
Thank you very much. Looking into the Constitution of South Sudan, Part 2, which talks about Bill of Rights, every woman, every person, every citizen has rights to health care services, irrespective of nationality, irrespective of color, irrespective of anything. They all deserve rights to health services. And in this case, I would like to bring up something very clear, that health health intervention, health services actually should be first before legal and safety services.
Yes, yes.
That is very key for the survivors.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
What is the advice, the best advice for safety for those who might not get the chance for training and workshops? And they are very, very far. Gadin Mahal Baid Hina Gadin Guluhina Figondo. So, safety become nasiha al gawi bkunsha.
I think one of the let us look at the Constitution gives a guide of protection. That first of all, everybody needs to know that section 273 of the Penal Code says that whoever kidnaps, grabs, or take somebody by force is an offense. And that means you have to be in prison. There is a penalty for that. If people take this as a serious thing, they know that the Constitution guides the people, everyone. And if everyone is informed, even the offender himself cannot do that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
But there are incidences that happen that sometimes due to influences, you know, let me take, for example, young people. They are engaged into practices that do not necessarily allow them to behave very well.
Yeah.
And you find out that they engage in drugs, they engage in behavior that involves fighting, looting, and doing things like that.
Yeah.
But we have to bear in mind that when something happens like that, particularly in times of conflict, we have to protect the women. Whoever is having authority in any place needs to protect women and children, and very, very important. And we need to educate women more, especially with girls and young women, that if there's in time of conflict, you need to be in the safe place. When there's violence, you need to be keep away at a time of dark. You have to always be next to where there is authority, where the police will be, and you need always to report.
Yeah.
Reporting will allow you to be assisted.
Yeah.
Because if there's any issue that is a place that is very dangerous, you will get a response from police, you can get a response from any military authority around that area. And I would like to say, in our context in South Sudan, particularly where there are people staying in this place camps, where the people are staying in remote areas, I think it is very important that if you stay in villages, you need to ask for protection from police and the government.
Yeah.
Whoever in charge of the military or the people within that area, you have to know the people who are responsible so that they can response to any other issue.
Thank you very much, listeners to Radio Mirage. This is me, Gabriel Shada, with Nationwide. And with me in the studio, I have three guests. Jennifer Eden, GBV coordinator from Intra Health, and Emmanuel Abasai, protection assistant from Mother and Child Development Aid, and Wangiri Peter, program manager from Community Development Emergency Response Organization. And they are all stakeholders and partners who are helping people in health-wise, safety and security-wise, and legal services-wise, so that people, and especially women and girls, are protected against gender gender-based violence and also sexual-based violence and other related rights, because health service is a right, safety is a right, and legal services also are a right. So after a brief interlude, I'll be picking your calls, and the numbers are 09-1206-2079 and 09-1206-2950. And the SMS line is 09-121-77141, and you can send me an SMS. I'll be able to read it if there is a comment, and also if there is a question to the listeners. We are left with about 10 minutes, and we'll take as many as possible before we get back to the guests in the studio. Let me start picking the calls after this interlude. What should we tell people who like to commit violence against women, and also what should we tell those people who are living far away in the villages where also rape cases are highly reported or committed, or and they are also underreported? Let me give this question to the legal our legal expert here, Emmanuel.
Okay, thank you very much. My advice to him is that the advice I will give to those people is that to stop violence against women, because it's against the constitution of Republic of South Sudan, and it's also against the international human right. So my advice is that people should not violate others' right. By violating somebody's right based on gender, so in that you're increasing more chaos, more hatred, and you are, this is why we don't have peace in South Sudan. Yeah. And I should encourage the survivors not to keep silence with the issues. Yeah. At least to search for legal service, legal assistance from the respective places they are staying. Even they have the traditional leaders.
Yeah.
They can search for legal assistance from them, so that the offenders, the perpetrators, are brought into book, so that we can disguise such elements.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your question from Awil there. When the safety of a woman is compromised and then she goes to the police, this is the issue of reporting. That is for you, Peter. Reporting, then she's being told, no, this is not our concern. This is the police telling her. Perhaps there is an issue with the police themselves. Like in some police stations, they might not have that specialized person to deal with this. Then she's referred to the chiefs. And the chief would say, okay, sit down, cool down, and there is dowry, there are children, so okay, forget about it and go back. Yes, what do you say?
Thank you. I think this is a very good concern. Mm. The only mistake that people do here is that people look at the issue of reporting to police, and the police themselves see it that when issues are reported, they are supposed to be reported to specific people. Mm. It is very important that police and everyone in the authority handles the issue of GBV as a concern and takes it very serious. Mm. That if there is any issue of violence, that there is need for a response. And that response is that when an issue is reported to you, you need to give an action. Okay?
Yeah.
And first of all, everybody, including the police, the community needs to know properly what is gender-based violence and who needs to be to be helped. First of all, if there's any violence that occurred, you know that this woman needs to be given safety.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because women are vulnerable. And there's one context that people use, which is very wrong, is that people use violence against women as a weapon of war, which is totally wrong. Yeah. we need to create awareness more and inform our people that violence against women is totally not a way of winning a fight or to confront your enemy. Yeah. It is better you discuss your things without even involving women, because you are violating the right of an innocent person, and by legality, as Emmanuel said, you are against the international human rights law, and that means you will be charged for whatever things you have done against an innocent person.
Yeah, thank you very much, Peter. For
My first question is saying gender-based violence, is it only to be against women in our society, is, or also there are some women who are also mistreating men?
Okay.
And if so, what are the measures which are supposed to be taken to prevent the women who are even beating their husband?
Okay, thank you very much for that. And we give that question to the woman who is in the studio here. Is it just about always women being the victim on the victim side, receiving end of violence? Because this is just an argumentative question. It's just maybe for the sake of argument.
Yes.
So, and then what measures in these cases also?
Yeah. Thank you very much. I think everywhere, not only in South Sudan, we realize that women are more vulnerable to violence if you compare to men. In most cases, you find that if it happens in men, it might go in silence, and it's not very easy to get data and information that men are mostly violated by women. And then to what extent and extremity that women experience different forms of violence, it's actually very, very high. So in this case, we are not refusing, we are not disagreeing that men are not violated. Women also violate, but as a call for response, we say we can still follow channels, stakeholders, as we are here at the studio with different stakeholders responding to different forms of violence. Yes, there might be cases where you find even a man could have been raped by women. Yes, you're not going to sit back and say that it only happens to men. Women. Yeah. The men also have to report to the healthcare facilities within 72 hours and seek the same services that women would have been seeking, apart from the emergency contraceptive that men men do not take contraceptives, on the other hand, we advocate them to use condoms. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think it's time now, because I'm left with 3 minutes only, and it's very interesting and very informative discussions we have been holding with you here, Eden, Emmanuel, and Peter. And let's have your concluding remarks. I will give each one of you 1 minute. Let me start with Emmanuel from the legal perspective. Just 1 minute concluding remark.
Okay, we need to stop gender-based violence because it's an offense against our constitution. So the laws here, the laws of South Sudan clearly disagree with this issue of gender-based violence. So we need to respect our law if we love our country. So by respecting our law, we shall take this country to a different step.
Thank you very much, Emmanuel Abassai, Legal Service. He was talking here in the Protection and Legal Service from the Mother and Child Development Aid Organization. From the Peter, from the Safety and Security, what is your concluding remark?
Thank you. I would like to call everybody that the women, we need to give them protection, and always seek for safe environment. And please let us try to make a very friendly environment for women and our families. You know, gender equality is a clear indicator that there is development or good governance. So if we want to make a good development and good governance or democracy, then we must eliminate violence against women.
Thank you, Peter. Jennifer, from the health perspective.
Thank you so much, Gabriel. My key message to stakeholders and community would actually be a key thing. Healthcare workers should provide health services to post-GBV survivors, irrespective of sex, nationality, sexuality, origin.
Yeah.
And tribalism.
Yeah.
The other key thing, also, the community should really take self-responsibility to report issues of gender-based violence to the stakeholders that they are already in the know. Thank you.
Thank you
very
much.
This will help us reduce and prevent GBV in our country.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate your being in the studios here at on Nationwide program. Thank you very much, Jennifer Eden, GBV coordinator from Intra Health. Thank you very much, Emmanuel Abasai, protection assistant from Mother and Child Development Aid. And thank you very much, Bongiri Peter, program manager from Community Development Emergency Response Organization. Very interesting be listening to you. We hope this will contribute to a better and safe environment for everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.